Got it. Recording has started. Welcome everyone to our April 28th UMCS board meeting. It is 6:23 p.m. and I am calling the meeting to order. Greg, can you call attendance, please?
Sure. Christina is absent. Davis, are you here?
I am here.
And Donald?
Here.
And this is Greg. Jan?
Here.
And Kara? And Maru and Sarah are absent, but we have five of us here.
Quorum is met. Okay. Do we have a need to reorder any of our items this evening? Looks like no. All right. Do we have any appreciations?
It's hard to hear you, Kara.
I'm sorry, I'm using Greg's speaker. I would like to thank our parent volunteers who have been busting their butts propagating plants for the last year and had a very successful plant sale on Saturday. A great event, and a lot of people were there. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Thank you, Kara. Any other appreciations?
I appreciate Greg for some thought partnership this week. And appreciate Daniel for digging into the panorama survey with me.
I want to appreciate the teachers and office staff here these couple of days while the admin leaders are out and away holding it down.
Awesome. Any other appreciations? Just confirming there's no public there, correct?
There's no members of the public present here at the meeting now. Okay. I'll do one more. I'll just want to appreciate the student leaders and CETA and other parent volunteers in particular for all the work that's still going on for the Move-a-thon. There's still plenty of loose ends, we'll call them, to tie up, but I still have a lot of hope it's going to be a big fun day.
Awesome. Anybody else with an appreciation? If not, we will move to board member comment. Does anybody have a comment on items not on the agenda tonight? Right. I'm assuming that we can skip presentations from the floor since there are no members of the public there.
Yeah, there are none.
All right. And with that, we will go to head of school report and I will give it to Greg.
Okay. Krishna put together head of school report. So I'm going to do a lousy interpretation imitation. So she's sharing some recent and upcoming events. So earlier this week, the county office visited. They did their annual site visit here. I know that Krishna and Daniel and the office and admin team did a ton of work to prepare for that. They had to collect data and organize a lot of data that aligns to the dashboard to share. And I think there were walkthroughs involved and stuff like that. That's big. It's great. COVID testing continues. The Move-a-thon is May 14th. You are all invited. You can all come. You can move. You can bring family. You can listen to music. It'll be great. Come. LPAC testing, that's the English learner testing, is started, I guess, this week and goes through May. That's the summative testing. And then SBAC testing starts next week for the next few weeks as well. That's in third through eighth grade in English, Language Arts, and Math. On the PD and instructional updates. So our admin team is gone right now because they're at the National Center for Montessori in the Public Sector Leadership Conference. So they're in North Carolina right now. They also recently worked with Embracing Equity to complete the whole school equity audit. So I don't have any information about what's come of that, but I guess that work is just finished. And looks like staff just yesterday on Wednesday completed ELD training with NCMPS. And then Public Montessori in Action International, that's that other acronym, Elizabeth Slade, she hosted year-long reflections with every level team. And so I think those players, NCPMS and MCMPS, Embracing Equity, and Elizabeth Slade, those are some of the same folks involved in the training center, I believe, as well. And they're sharing some photos from the work together, people collaborating, and some photos in the classroom. When both Elizabeth Slade did walkthroughs and ACOE. So that's what some of these photos are from. So just showing kiddos working there. Some science experiments. And this looks like some SBAC. I think this is the practice. These are students coming into practice in the sunroom doing SBAC testing. All right, enrollment season. So she wasn't ready to share like hard numbers, but she did want everyone to know that like we are on track. We remain with wait lists. We are on track to hit our enrollment plans for the upcoming year, which is great. And those enrollment plans, you might remember a few while ago, we approved a material revision. That revision was unanimously approved by the county since the last time we met. The county had about, I don't know, five or six, maybe even more schools go through that process in the last couple of months. And they were, as far as I know, they've all been approved. So that's great. Great news. Staffing. This is exciting. We've been talking a little bit about this this new expanded learning program. And so they're ready to announce that this person, Melody Washington, has been hired. So this person is the director of expanded learning. They report to Ms. Krishna. They are a full-time administrative role. So great, you know, tripling our formal administrative capacity. So this person's main job is everything that we think of as after-school program moving forward, but eventually could be also before-school program because it's really extended day, so it could work on either end of the clock. And then also everything we think of as like summer school, but it's really what's called intercession or extended school year, because the 30 days every year could come some in the summer. They could be on non-student professional development days. They could be the days leading up to Thanksgiving. So this director is going to have to survey families and find out. The goal of this program is to provide those extended hours and those extended days to the students who contribute to our unduplicated count. That's the bare minimum. That's where the funding comes from. Those students are students who are English learners, students who are homeless foster, students who are socioeconomically disadvantaged. So those are the students who get access to this program at no cost. As they build out the program though, any student is gonna be able to access this program on some sort of sliding scale, which is what is all to come.
Predetermined.
But that's really exciting. And it looks like we're in discussion with current staff members who are entering training to step into teaching positions in the fall. So that's exciting. So on the LCAP, the LCAP document's been live. It's linked to on all of our agendas for months. It's a little bit dry. But anyone from the board and members of the public are welcome to go on. They can comment, they can ask questions. You can, I know recently the team's been working to populate the data. So there might be some more kind of this year's data in there since the last time you looked at it. That's the first step. The second step is for the administration to then like reflect on that data. And then all year long and through surveys and at FAC meetings and everything is to be collecting feedback and at staff meetings to be thinking from the teachers, like now thinking forward, now which ways do we want to invest? Do we want to keep investing in these ways? Do we need to slightly change? The goals mostly stay the same for these next couple of years, but some of the actions can certainly vary. So you're all invited to go in there and take a look and weigh in as much as you'd like. Your committee work is a good place to do that as well, and also at like FAC meetings as well. Okay, and so if you have questions for this report, I can do my best to answer them. Otherwise, you can also just open up right now and shoot a note to Krishna. It's up to you.
There's no questions.
All right, and there's no public comment. So if there are no questions or no public comment, we could go on to the next item. Which is what?
Finance.
Oh, okay. I can do finance. Finance committee did not meet. So that's the main update. But EdTech did prepare the monthly actual financial documents. So those are linked to on the agenda. So I can go through them. I went through them myself, but the committee didn't discuss them. And I haven't had a chance to talk with EdTech about them. But it looks like this year's forecast improved, which is great. There was some over budgeting on of hourly employees. So that was an improvement for our one time deficit this year. So that increased there was like a 1.7% kind of improvement from the prior month. And these are numbers through the end of March. Cash looks like it's going to stay well positive throughout the fiscal year. So there's nothing to be concerned about, but as we get near the end, it dips just below the 3 month threshold, but then traditionally what happens is the state pays in July. And so it goes right back up. So it might dip below the goal of 3 for a moment, but it should be okay. But we always just keep an eye on cash. So before I go on, any questions about the latest change in the deficit or the cash flow before I go into the future stuff? Okay. So on the budgeting, the main thing is that the May revise hasn't happened. But what I'm getting here is I think EdTech is like following things that are happening in committees and state legislative committees, and they're starting to try and like predict a little bit. And so based on some of that moving things around, that they are saying, well, we might have a little more work to do. It looks like we had thought next year's draft budget was already showing a positive income, but it's now no longer based on some other changes, I guess, that are happening, I believe related to retirement. So I'm gonna share a little bit about that in a sec. So there's still plenty of time to do this. The main thing that will happen is when we get the May revise, then we'll adjust it again. So when we look at this at the end of May, when the committee meets in May and when we meet in May, the revise should have come out and we'll have a lot more information. But there's I think what EdTech is signaling here is that we have a little work to do to dig into that. This slide is just showing that our enrollment is trending up a little bit over the next couple of years, and also the attendance rate at which we budget we're planning on it going up a little bit. But that we've already kind of factored that in. This slide shows just the a lot of the big one-time monies and the changes over the next couple of years, because they're not necessarily recurring funds. So you can just see what they are. The ELOG is the Expanded Learning Opportunity Grant, which preceded the Expanded Learning Opportunity Program, which is the new fund that is paying for that new hire and other things. It's, you know, just to be clear here, you know, it says staff salaries. Staff salaries going up is shown, you know, the variance is a negative there because the expense is going up, and which a lot of us have been very glad about. We like to see that expense. So just want to be clear. Here's what I think EdTech was learning about is that STRS, which is the state teachers retirement system, I believe, the percentage is going up again. And in these latest proposals in the legislature, there's no relief. In the recent past, there's been some years where the state has said, well, the state kind of just says, we'll pay 1% or 2% into STRS instead of the schools. They kind of, instead of giving the money to schools to pay into STRS, they just kind of pay it directly. And it feels to the schools like they got some relief. So that's what I know about the latest finances. Nothing earth shattering, but some work for the committee to do in May. We'll have to make a few more adjustments, and that will be okay. Questions on this report?
I was just going to comment, there also has been no news on the hold harmless. So if that is passed, then we will see, I forget what it is, an additional $400,000 in revenue in this year. And it'll just go straight to the bottom line. So it'll change our net loss or negative operating revenue to a positive operating revenue pretty quickly. So. But there's been no decision made on that. So
And there's no public comments.
No public comments.
Should we move on to the academic report?
Yes, please.
Yes, I can. Let me pull up. Sorry, I was late adding a document. We spent a big chunk of our time talking about the Panorama survey, which, let me share. Oh. It's in the documents now. If someone else, I don't have access to share. I thought I had.
Sorry about that. I can give you, I can do that.
So the Panorama survey we've been getting for a couple years now. Thank you. I have a new computer. I seem to need to give some access here. Okay, I can't share my screen because I would have to restart my computer at this moment.
Okay, I can share. Say again, what are you trying to share?
I put a deck Panorama survey reflections in the documents part.
Got it. I found it here. One second. Congrats on your new computer.
Thank you.
All right, go for it. Tell me what to do.
Okay. Yeah, you can go to the next slide. So we've been giving this for a few years now. There is a family survey that's given, and there's some different topics that are covered there. There's a student survey, and there's two different parts there. There's a survey for third through fifth graders, take one version. Questions are a bit more simplified, you know, answer choices are a little more simplified. And then sixth through eighth, so altogether third through eighth graders are surveyed, both about kind of climate and culture, and that's what's focused on here. But then there also are social emotional measures that are helping to better understand students' growth mindset, self-management, social awareness, self-efficacy. And then there are staff surveys and topics covered there. Kind of pre-pandemic, it was pretty common for us to have like a fall and a winter, or fall and spring, or kind of winter and spring, where it was like kind of November, December, and then again in the spring. This year only happening once, and happened in, I don't know when it opened, but it closed a couple of weeks ago. So it was kind of March, April timeframe. Questions, Kara, I know you had been at the academic meeting, but Donald, I don't know how new this is to you. So if anyone just has questions about the survey. We're good. Okay. And I should say, yeah, I put these slides together after a couple conversations with Daniel, but I would say kind of take all of this with, you know, a grain of salt. and I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if Krishna or Daniel, you know, in the next head of school report, you know, talk about anything here too, but did want to share out some things that we talked about. So next slide. So just highlighted some of kind of strengths and areas of opportunity. We spend our time on students and families. So that's all I've covered here. But there are other results in the academic committee's last meeting too. So for the all students, you know, both levels, the climate of support for learning was highest rated. The graph shows over kind of the past few administrations. We did see across the board lower ratings this year compared to last year. If you remember, like, things were in distance learning, and talking with Daniel and others, think that's kind of a lot of where students were coming from. A lot of students, you know, did enjoy kind of being at home in some sense, and different you know, opportunities that presented. So we see, you know, kind of middle of the pack rated nationally on these two. So that's good to see, with, you know, for the 40 to 59th percentile nationally when you compare our results. The highest rated questions for the younger students was, do adults at school encourage you to work hard so you can be successful? And 82% were favorable there. And for the 6th through 8th graders, around having an opportunity to take part in discussions and activities in the classroom. Next slide. In terms of areas for growth opportunities, safety was one of the lowest, and here you do see big drops compared to last year when, you know, students weren't in person. In some sense, you know, are pretty similar to what we saw pre-pandemic, but, you know, do see, you know, lower ratings here for both the younger grades and the 6th through 8th grades, with, you know, only about like a third of students in each of those are saying that, like, they've never been hit or pushed when not playing around. Similar kind of questions across the two groups. And, you know, spent talking about that in both of the, you know, see actually like 5th and 6th graders kind of driving the results more. So those are kind of split across the two surveys, but in Panorama, you can break down by grade level and see that 5th and 6th graders had lowest ratings, and hearing from, you know, Daniel that resonates too with other things that they've, you know, observed and through other conversations, like recess really being a point for those grade levels where they've seen challenges. And then do see less favorable responses for Black and Latinx students as well. The other area, there's you know, a section on kind of knowledge and fairness of discipline and rules. There's some questions that students answer around that, and questions around that families answer, and saw that was another low area, and for families that was the lowest area, and seeing in terms of national percentiles too, you know, much lower, being in the bottom quintile nationally for those types of questions, with, you know, minority of students saying that, like, feel that they're treated fairly when students are treated fairly when the rules are broken. Again, seeing by grade level less favorable 5th and 6th and 7th a bit as well, and Black and Latinx students. And there too, you know, seeing some big drops from last year when things were in distance learning, and being pretty similar to kind of pre-pandemic in this area. Next, families seeing really positive ratings on school-wide communication and sense of belonging. I don't think I don't like rarely seen this in a survey where 99% of families agreed that, you know, Urban is keeping them well informed about school-wide events and general updates. That was a specific question, and I know that's been a focus of the administration this year. So I think it's really great to see that, and we see that kind of consistently across different groups, and that also came across in open response questions with similar themes to this, like thank you for the increased communication via emails, people really appreciating Parent Square and just having things a bit more organized that it's easier to keep track of. So yeah, I know that's been something that I'm working on. And then overall section, the sense of belonging being highest overall and also compared nationally, you know, rating well in that section. Again, some really high numbers with 98% agreeing that staff treat them with respect and that 93% say feel welcome. Do see slightly lower ratings from Black and Latinx families in the sense of belonging category. So I know when we talked about this at the academic committee, this had kind of just finished. And when Daniel and I talked last week, had like dug in a bit, but I know they are kind of continuing to dig into these results, have conversations with staff and families, planning to discuss at upcoming FAC and ELAC meetings. Wanting to work to improve safety at recess. Again, Daniel said from kind of other observations and conversations with students, seeing that, you know, recess is a big driver of the safety question. And he and Krishna have already been spending time out there at Upper L recess and working on some plans for longer term solutions. He talked about, you know, better organization and accountability of equipment. They actually have spent a lot of money on equipment, but the materials have disappeared over the past few months. And so working for some more, you know, responsibility and accountability of equipment and with the new expanded learning.
Director.
Yeah. hoping to leverage that person to think about this as well. For improving the knowledge and fairness, again, in those conversations, in those kind of reflections that they've had, you know, it has kind of come up. Nautilus is a new system this year. And it was coming up that, you know, teachers had some, you know, questions and wanting, you know, some more practice and PD and training and realizing that they haven't been as consistent with implementing. And so I think, you know, that happens with a new system. So continuing to get more comfortable with it and strong implementation of it. And Daniel then, yeah, also shared kind of that they haven't done family events on Nautilus. And it's, you know, it's new for students and families too. So probably some more, you know, education and reflection and refreshers. And I think, you know, continuing with those weekly emails since the communication ratings were so high. That is all I have. Happy to try to answer questions, or you know, I can take them to Daniel and Krishna if I can't answer them.
I don't have any questions. Just have comment that one question is: do you know if the students, if the third through eighth grade students, were given time to take the surveys here at school?
I'm assuming so. I think that's what has happened in the past, but we didn't talk specifically about the administration of the survey.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, I would, I guess the main thing I'm, the main thoughts that are coming to my mind are, we have been, I know they have set a goal of improving the communication, and the fact that they've worked on it and gotten better at it is an, that feels nice.
Yeah.
And now that they see clearly that, like, that that upper L recess safety issue seems to be coming through really clearly in that data, and that they're, you know, got a web of next steps to go right at that, like, feels appropriate. So I think it'll be important to keep, just ask, like, you know, check in, and that, that, like, April and May is a great, and in, you know, that last day of June or whatever, or that first last day of school in June is a great time to get expectations tighter at an upper L recess, because they're coming right back. And so, you know, you get a chance to kind of restart now and again in the fall. And so it's the exact opposite thing. You don't want to say, oh, it's almost the end of the school year, we don't have to worry about it. Like, no, now is exactly the time to try and tighten things up better now. So do other folks have questions or any comments about that report? I'm sure you all completed, those of you who are parents, your parent survey that came to your email. Of course you did. Thank you. Jan, was there anything else from the committee report? That was the main thing?
No, yeah, that was the main thing. And we discussed the EL policy, which I know is on the agenda for later. And yeah, support there. There were some small changes made there that we all feel good about.
Any public comment? We have a member of the public. Any public comments on this item? All right. David, should we go on to FAC?
Yes, Kara, are you gonna present on FAC?
No, I don't mind. I'm gonna mute myself and I'm gonna make you a co-host so that, and hopefully you don't have to restart your computer.
Okay, so let me try and share screen. Yay. Hang on. Let me fix that and then I'll share screen. Sorry. Okay. There we go. Okay, can people see my screen? Awesome. So we met on April 21st. A lot of the meeting was around planning for summer events, including welcoming welcome back to school events in July and August for new families and returning families. The next FAC meeting is on May 17th. And the final morning coffee of the year is on May 20th. The April morning coffee was canceled last Friday because it was pouring at 8 o'clock. We miss having and being able to meet in the sunroom. Upcoming stuff, we had our fundraising stuff. We had our plant and bake sale on Saturday. We raised about $2,500. It was a lot of fun being in the yard with people and getting to see people and kids having fun and stuff like that. Our move-a-thon is coming up on May 14th. I don't know if Greg wants to weigh in on that, but I know there are lots of people busily planning that. Other items, Dr. Rogers, our last parent session here was canceled due to a scheduling conflict on her part. We're looking forward to next year in terms of how we can continue with parent anti-racism training. Rochelle probably won't be doing them because it's really not her preferred subject area. So we're trying to figure out other ways of continuing the conversation, whether it's if there are parents in the community who have experience doing this, if we just want to create sort of a white affinity book club to talk about different things. There's lots of opportunities for discussion, and if people have input on how we can continue this this education process, I would appreciate it. I started talking with Simla's Unidas about the possibility of hosting a community session to talk about the experiences of families of color at the school. Last year we had a listening session hosted by Rochelle Rogers-Ard that had some pretty challenging outcomes, and we kind of wanted to wait to continue that conversation for our families of color that is constructive and that doesn't just feel frustrating for everybody. So I know I have talked with Sylvia, who is part of the food team, about hosting. We're not calling it a listening session, we're calling it a community meeting just to get feedback and have people share their experiences with other parents at the school. And that's pretty much everything. If anyone has any questions or comments.
I did have a question. Can you all hear me? Okay. Can you share them? So I just wanted to know, because I'm new to the school, my kids just started in September, or actually October of last year. Were there any issues with, I guess, the BIPOC community at this school? And like, I guess, interactions with the families, and either Edmund or other families at the school, like what?
So we had a listening session last year, and I can share a few notes from that with you. The people who attended the listening session was that they had had issues with the school. There was a small percentage of families who attended, there was a small percentage of our families who attended that meeting, but that's why we want to have. We want to be able to have people share their experiences. I struggle with it because I'm a white woman and my experience is very different than any family of color. This is why I'm here as a host community myself. And also but there have been, I can share the notes with you, there have been issues in the past. Recently, but there was a post on Facebook very kind of some discussion which led to me contacting Sylvia to offer to try and create a space for people.
Okay.
Were there any other questions for FAZ? If not, we will move on to exec committee. I will present on that, though I did not put together a presentation at all. So I'll just go through our notes. Myself, Sarah, and Christina were there. It's a pretty quick meeting, but we went through our head of school evaluation process, which continues. We need all of the board members to finish their assessments. And I know Christina was following up with the people who have not finished their assessments. For anybody who knows anyone who would be a good fit for the board, please, please, please ask them, submit their names, talk to them personally, or give their names to myself, Greg, or anyone else, so we can talk to other people to see whether or not they would be a good fit for our board. We will be in the, as always, on a rolling basis, we'll be continuing to update school policies. One of those things is we want to continue the work that Jan started on the exit interviews. So Sarah is kind of taking that on and putting together and formalizing those questions and that process. And then we would like to put that process into a policy to put into our overall board policies. Let me see here. LCAP, I think Greg has already referred to that earlier. And that was pretty much it for the committee meeting. So are there any questions? If not, as a reminder, please complete your Form 700 if you have not done so as of yet. And on the agenda, there was also the charter material revision process, but Greg already talked about that as well. So any questions from board or from the public? All right, and then
I just wanted to say appreciation for getting the exit interviews. That's something that has been, you know, takes a while to get there, but it's really good that that's happening. That's getting formalized. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jan, for doing that for us. Also for board, committee, and officers, do we have a need to make a change to any of our board, committees, or officers? Does not look like it. Greg, do you want to cover other business?
Sure. The main county update that I shared previously again was that many of the charter run schools that the county authorized had their enrollment related material revisions approved. The other update at the county is they first voted to kind of reopen debate around UMing's facilities related material revision, and then they subsequently voted to approve it. And so some number of UMing students now starting next year will go to school. I think it's in San Lorenzo. And so that was a change. So that was something that happened that was related to the county and charters. And then the other one is the major update, I think, for this month is that tomorrow in OUSD, the OEA has called for a 1-day strike in opposition to the school closures that are slated to happen. The union is clearly stated that they believe the closures are, and the process to do so is illegal. The district believes that the 1-day strike action isn't an illegal labor action. The district has also put out their own parent square message to their families saying, due to the strike, they don't believe they'll have enough staff coverage for folks for tomorrow, for students. And so for those families who can, to please keep their students home from OUSD schools. In theory, this doesn't necessarily impact our staff directly or our students directly here, but it's important to be mindful of what's going on. And certainly we have families and staff who have direct connections to what will be happening tomorrow. So I wanted to share about that. I think those are my main updates. Anyone else have updates about things that they've noticed going on around in state, county, or Oakland, kind of public ed? Any public comments on any of that? All right, then with that, I'll ask for a motion to approve the March minutes.
Make a motion.
I heard Kara first, but Jan, I'll let you second it.
Second.
Got it. Is there any discussion or public comment on the minutes? All right, get ready to unmute, people. Davis, how do you vote?
Aye.
Donald?
Aye.
This is Greg. I vote aye. Jan?
Aye.
And Kara? Aye. All right, we have minutes. I'm going to keep going. Davis, yep. Is there a motion to approve the general consent? We just have the one item.
I will move to approve the general consent report.
All right. Is there a second? Second. Second by Kara. Is there any discussion or public comments on the general consent report?
Nope.
All right. Davis, how do you vote?
Aye.
Donald?
Aye.
This is Greg. I vote aye. Jan?
Aye.
And Kara?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Excellent. Thank you, everyone. Are there any new business items for future meetings? As a reminder to all board meeting or all board members, you can log in and put items on future agendas yourself, if you so choose to do so, or you can contact myself or Greg. Closed session. Is there a need for a closed session?
Well,
sorry.
You decide that. Okay. It's on the agenda. Well, we can go into closed session briefly, and then we'll see what happens. But we're going to pause the recording before we do so. So one moment. Oh, actually, before we do that, is there any public comment on the closed session item, which is the head of school's public performance evaluation?
No, I'm assuming I'm the only person with public here, but I don't have any comment at this time.
Okay. All right. Well, with that, I'm going to pause the recording then.
Recording stop. Okay. All right. We are returning to open session. It is 7:17 p.m. There were no actions taken in closed session, and we are adjourning this meeting at 7:17 p.m. Thanks so much, everyone.